Welcome to First Baptist Rock Hill. Whether this is your first time joining us online or if you've worshiped with us before, we are thrilled that you've chosen First Baptist. It is our hope that you feel connection during this time today. We hope that you feel connected through the music, in the sermon, and maybe even fellowship with other believers. If you wish to learn more about First Baptist and the ministry opportunities available, check out our website at fbcrockhill.org or visit any one of our social media platforms. Enjoy.
I want to begin by thanking you for praying. As you know, we've been searching for two pastors to join our team here at First Baptist. One we're still searching for. It's a new search for a worship pastor to help with our contemporary worship services. This is a national search, so please be praying. We're just in the early stages of identifying candidates, and your prayers matter a whole lot. We've also been praying for a pastor to serve with our high school and college students, and God has answered that prayer. So I want to take a moment and introduce to you our new pastor for high school and college students, Brother Corey Hinton and his family, who are making their way to the platform. His wife, Kristen, and their two children, their daughter, Reese, who is 12, and their son, Hudson, who is 9. And they were part of our church family a few years ago. And Corey was in one of our early D groups when we started that ministry. God was working in his life, calling him into ministry. And so he left here. They left here, and he started serving different ways. He served with FCA for a while. And in recent years, he served in area churches, either in a part-time or a full-time capacity as a student pastor while working on his education, had his college degree already, but working on his MDiv, his Master of Divinity, which is what we preachers get, at Liberty University. And he'll be finishing that degree this October. And on a personal note, my son and him played high school baseball against each other in our city. But it's been fun to watch Corey grow. I mean, we knew God was working his life. He had a heart for ministry. And to see him in the intervening years mature and develop, learn and get experience, but also as a family man, to work on a master's level degree while you're married and raising kids and working, some of you have done that. It's challenging, and he's done that, and we're proud of him for that. And it's really, really exciting for us to welcome him home. And would you join me in saying thank you to Corey and welcome him and his family to our family of faith?
Thank you. Thank you. Be short and quick. I will say that we won a lot of those ball games against his son. I'm just going to say that. Go Trojans. Hey, if you're Bearcat, I love you too. Stallion, you too. But hey, listen, we're just so thankful and grateful just to be back with the family. You know, we left 6 years ago and Hudson was dedicated here when he was a baby. And now we're back here, back home. And it's just been a dream and a thrill to come true. So just to serve you guys. Hey, listen, I'll say this, students, if you'll come tonight, we'd love to get to know you. You can get to know my wife, who's the strength and power behind all that we do.
Yeah, Monisa and I had lunch with him, and Kristen's a lot sharper than Corey is.
Very much, yeah, she is. But, hey, thank you, guys. We love you. Look forward to getting to know you. Thank you.
And the students know about this, but you may know other students. 4 o'clock to 5:30 this afternoon over in the Rock is a kickoff party, kind of kicking off Sunday nights, but it's also his first time, so a chance to start getting to know Corey and his family. So have all the students come tonight. It's Grant's ministry, your ministry, so the B45 all the way up through college students, some breaking out stuff, but a chance to hang out. So and then home in time to watch the Super Bowl, I guess. That's what it is. All right. Let's pray for them. Father, we humbly worship you and give you praise and thanks for the way you are always at work in this world. And Lord, when you're speaking to us and calling us, we don't always know where that journey will take us, but we know it will take us where you want us to go. And we trust you. And we thank you that we don't wander aimlessly through life, but you have a plan and a purpose. And we thank you that Corey said yes to you as a teenager. And then as a young married man said yes to your call. And thank you for his pushing through and dedication to grow. You've been preparing him all this time for this moment in his life. And we pray your blessings on him. We pray for his family. As they become part of our family of faith, may they know what it is to be loved by your people as they bless us as well. Bless their marriage. Bless them as parents. May your hand be upon him as he serves our students and their families and this community and even beyond. Father, we thank you that you're able to do incredible things, and we know you're going to do that. Thank you for raising him up for this season and all that you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brother. All right. See you. All right, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it with me, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We've been saying our focus in 2026 is on learning how to love people the way God wants us to love people, which is not always how the world describes love, but what does God say about love when we love others? So we spent January looking at some of what the Bible tells us about how God loves us, because how he loves people informs how we love people. So that's what we spent January doing. This month and into early March, we're focusing on learning some things from Scripture about how to love our family the way God wants us to. How to love our family better than we already love them. And so that's our focus. And today, we're going to follow up last Sunday. Last Sunday, even though we weren't in person, we had the online sermon, and I'm thankful we were able to do that. We looked at those passages that talk about loving Jesus more than you love your family. And that seems crazy to some people, seems crazy to the world. But the biblical truth is this, and it's a practical truth, that the more you love Jesus, if you do it the right way, I'm not talking about just being religious and being a church person, but the more you actually love Jesus and you grow in that relationship with him, the better you will love your family. You cannot love Jesus well and love your family badly. They just don't go together. So the better you learn how to love Jesus, the better you're going to love your family. And so following that up today in Galatians 5, we're going to look at what the Bible refers to as the fruit of the Spirit. It's just an analogy to describe those things God is producing in us through the Holy Spirit as we grow in our love for Jesus. And this fruit, these things that God produces in us, will help us love other people well. And it's going to help you love your family well. So that's what we're going to look at today. And I want to start by sharing with you an email from a woman, a wife, that she sent to a counselor. Now, historically, most counseling is done, you know, in person, face to face. Today, a lot of counseling is done virtually, Zoom and other platforms, and some by email. That's not the best way, but it does happen. And so this lady sent an email to a counselor, and she said this. Let me read it to you. She said, "Hello, I'm struggling with my marriage. My husband has issues with anger and explosiveness. I've faced many challenges with him. Over the years, this has worn me down and affected my mental health. Recently, I made the choice to engage in an inappropriate conversation that I then lied about and concealed. Now everything has come to light and my husband wants a divorce. There was never any physical contact. All the conversations were conducted via email. I believe my actions stem from years of what I consider mental abuse and neglect. I'm not justifying it, but I need guidance." Now, how would you respond to it? Let me say two or three things. One, even though on some level we might understand it, for her to engage in an intimate conversation with someone who was not her husband, another man, not her husband, even by email, it was inappropriate, it was wrong, and it was not smart on any level. In fact, most affairs begin with a spouse having intimate conversations with someone of the opposite sex that's not their spouse. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Is that, what did I say? Okay. Second thing. Her husband's problem with anger and what she calls explosiveness, a temper problem, was abusive. And over time would wear her down and take a negative toll. That is absolutely true. Bad behavior, bad habits, bad attitudes, bad characteristics, they build up over the years. And it is like death by a thousand cuts, or that water that's just steadily dripping. It's not a lot of water. It doesn't seem like it'll do much damage, but that steady drip, 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 drip of water will eventually cause the wood beneath to rot. That's what happens in a lot of marriages. It's not the big things that blow them up. It's the steady drip of things that are never dealt with. It's the steady drip of bad habits and bad attitudes and bad behavior that takes a toll. If the dripping of water can, over the centuries, change the formation of a rock, what do you think it can do in a few years to a marriage or a family or a parent-child relationship? Now, as we look, and we're going to in Galatians 5, at this fruit of the Spirit God's wanting to produce in your life that will bless your family, there's some key takeaways that I want you to get. I'm going to tell you up front, okay? You won't have to figure them out. I'm just going to tell you what they are right now, so you know from the get-go what we're talking about. One, when you became a believer, a disciple, the Holy Spirit came, took up residence in your life, and He's been working in you, but you must cooperate with Him. The Holy Spirit in you is working to produce in you spiritual growth and maturity, and in Galatians 5, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. He's wanted to develop these characteristics, these habits within you, and if you cooperate with Him, these things that He grows in you as a disciple will bless the people in your life. But guess what? You is you and I is me. We're born in this sinful fleshly body and we have these natural instincts, these natural impulses. And while there is some good in us, let's just be honest, there's a whole lot of not good in us. And we naturally do some things that are not godly. Our flesh wants to produce in us habits and attitudes and so on that they don't bless, they hurt. They don't honor God, they dishonor God and people in our lives. And it is true that the more I love Jesus, the more I crucify my natural instincts and give room for the Spirit to produce in me the things of God that bless the people in my life. And the less I work at loving Jesus and growing in my walk with Jesus, the more I tend to just tip the hat to Jesus once a week or once a month. But I'm not really focused on letting Jesus change me and grow me. Just tip my hat to Him. Then the more I empower the flesh to do its work, and the less I empower the Spirit to do His work in me. And one blesses my family, and the other does not. Do you hear me, church? That's what we're talking about today. So I want to read the passage in Galatians, starting at verse 15. And it's several verses, but I want to read all of it because I want you to see the picture. I want you to feel the impact of what God's Word is saying about all this stuff. So Galatians chapter 5. Now, He's talking to these believers in a church about how they treat one another. The fruit of the Spirit impacts how they live and how they treat one another. Well, this principle, this teaching applies to all of our relationships, including the home, including our marriage and, you know, extended family. So let's read it together in verse 15. And by the way, see if you can think of any families that resemble verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. You ever seen a family like that? Maybe you're in one. You bite and consume one another. You devour one another. Families destroying themselves. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, those impulses. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. There's a battle that takes place in our lives between what God is wanting to do in us as His disciples and what our sinful flesh is wanting to do. They're in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please at the end of verse 17. In other words, you're a disciple and there are things you want to do. You want to do what is good and right and you want to be godly and you want to grow, but because you're not allowing the Spirit, you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not feeding your spiritual life, you empower the flesh And you end up not doing the very things that you've said you want to do. You're working against yourself. You're working against your family. You're working against your marriage. Verse 18, he says, we're to be led by the Spirit. Now, verse 19, he gets really vivid. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They're easy to see. Here they are. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's a big list. Here's the deeds of the flesh, these things your body just naturally wants to do, your impulses. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Then verse 22 starts with but, and I love a positive but. But the fruit of the Spirit, the other side, what God's wanting to do in your life, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Which list do you think will bless a marriage or a family more? So why are we not letting the Spirit develop these other things in us, this fruit in us? 24, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So let's get into this a little bit. This battle, you choose. Hear me. You choose the one you feed. You choose the one you embolden. And if you choose to feed or embolden the flesh rather than the Holy Spirit and His work in your life, the result will be verse 15, biting and devouring one another, consuming one another. When he describes the deeds of the flesh, he begins with a list of sexual sins in verse 19. Immorality, a broad word that refers to every type of sexual sin possible. Adultery, premarital sex, lust, incest, homosexuality, pornography, you name it. Whatever sexual perversion there is included in this broad word. Immorality, porneia. He talks about impurity. The culture celebrates a lot of sexual stuff that God says actually defiles you and makes you look dirty. Sensuality. No limits, no restraints, whatever you want. Sex is a gift from God intended for a husband and wife to enjoy within the confines of marriage. It's not to be used as a weapon. It's not to be welded in manipulation. You are to bless each other. But our culture messes it up, and therefore messes up relationships. I mean, think about this. And I want to say a special word to young adults in the room or teenagers and college students. Listen to me just a second. The majority, not all, but the majority of well-known entertainers, whether it's musicians or people in television or movies, are failures at relationship. They just are. When you see someone in Hollywood who's been married for 30 years, you think, wow. Why? Because it's so rare. So let me ask you something, young people. Why would you get your ideas of how to be married, of what is good and bad about sex and relationships, from people who haven't figured it out themselves? Why would you try to learn how to do this stuff and how to think about this stuff from people who just keep getting it wrong and divorcing and divorcing and divorcing over and over? Maybe, it makes a little bit of sense. If you want to learn how to have a great marriage, look at people who have a great marriage. I'm just saying, it's a little bit of common sense. All right, enough of that. Verse 20, he talks about things like anger and conflict and fighting and jealousy and divisions. Man, those will bless a family, won't they? It all comes from within our natural fleshly impulses. In 21, he talks about drunken parties. Drunken parties, sex, booze. Why is it in America we can't have any party without booze being at the middle of it? I've often thought if you can't have fun without booze, you don't know how to have fun. I mean, just think about it. If you have to have liquor to have fun, whoa, maybe something else is wrong. I'm just, you know. I tell you what, I come from a family that's got a lot of alcoholism in its background. I've seen up close and personal what it does. It ain't good. Bad habits. That's what the flesh produces. Now, let me break this down a little bit and talk about some bad characteristics or bad habits from a, you know, not using biblical language or these deeds of the flesh. So let's just talk about some practical things in 2026 language, some bad habits that hurt marriages and hurt family and hurt relationships. Can we do that? And we don't have time to elaborate because we have some baptisms to do at the end, and I want to make sure we have time for all of that. So let me just run through these. Contempt. You know, you talk about your spouse, you know, putting them down, sarcasm, ridicule, mockery, making fun of them, belittling, always belittling them, criticism, constant criticism, 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 silent treatment, passive aggressive, making negative comments about your spouse to other people, having a habit of, and all of us have done this occasionally, but if you do this a lot, man, it won't work. You have a habit of saying, you always and you never. Is that real enough? As soon as you say you always, there's no discussion. There's just defense and arguing back and forth because they don't always. So that's not productive. A tendency to always assume the worst, to, you know, always assign bad intentions or bad motives to your spouse, not giving them the benefit of the doubt. You ever done that and then realize you were wrong? So you've been better off not to do it in the first place. Avoiding conflict. Expecting your spouse to read your mind. You know, only God can do that. A lack of appreciation. You don't verbally express appreciation and gratitude very often. Well, they know I'm thankful. No, they don't if you don't say it. Lack of consistent physical touch and intimacy. A failure to get input on important decisions. Not saying very often, I love you, or I'm sorry, not asking for forgiveness, not extending forgiveness, holding on to hurts, and on and on and on we could go, but you get the point. These are things that just naturally are in us as human beings, and they tear down relationships, right? So here you come as a sinner or a human being, and this stuff is all in us just kind of naturally. Maybe you don't deal with all of these, but probably everybody in this room's got, you know, some of these in us, right? Just naturally there. And you give your life to Jesus and you get saved. You become a disciple. Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. And now he's trying to change you. In fact, he's already changed you. He birthed you into the family of God. That's a big change. And he gave you a spiritual nature. That's a big change. Now he's wanting to cultivate that new nature. Develop it in you, grow it in you, produce what in Galatians 5 he refers to as fruit, as fruit. And I am so glad God chose to describe the positive, the work of the Spirit here as fruit. I prefer eating fruit. I like it best at breakfast. Just do. Growing up on the farm, we had a lot of apple trees, but my favorite, we had two plum trees. And I love going out there in the summer or the early fall and plucking me a ripe plum. We didn't use pesticides or anything. They were just natural grown. They were organic before there was organic. And I didn't worry about washing it off in the creek if there's anything on it. You just rub it and eat it. Skin and all. So good. I still like plums. I'm thankful that when God is describing the good things that the Spirit's wanting to produce in us that bless us and change us and that bless relationships in our lives, our family and brothers and sisters in Christ and our neighbors and others, he says, I'm wanting to grow in you some really sweet tasting fruit. Love that image. And the fruit that the Holy Spirit's trying to produce in you as a disciple of Jesus, love, peace, and joy, those will bless your life. Knowing that because you are in Christ, you are loved, that God loved you not only because he created you in his image, but he chose to love you and sent his son to die on the cross for you, and he's forgiven you, and you are loved by the Lord, so you don't have to go looking for love in bad places. Peace. Man, I'm not at war with God. I've got peace with God. I'm saved. I'm his son. You're his child because of Jesus. You're at peace with God if you know Jesus. And with your past, those sins of the past, guess what? They're forgiven. You don't have to let them be your boss anymore. You're at peace. And when you live in peace, you're able to extend peace to others. But when you're at war with God and you're at war with yourself, it's hard to be at peace with anybody. And joy. Man, don't you enjoy being around people who know how to smile and be happy? I mean, after a while, when you're around somebody who's always down and they're always negative and they're always sour and they're always, you just want to smack them and walk off. Because they just suck the life right out of you. Well, imagine living with somebody like that 24/7. Let Jesus produce in you the joy of the Lord. And then he talks about, are you ready? Patience. You think patience blesses a family? The word patience is contrast. It means long suffering. It's contrasted with the short tempered, the hot tempered person. You just learn that not everything matters. Kindness. How do you define kindness? I don't know. I just know what it is when I see it. Goodness. Goodness is a word that, in the original language, is the idea of you're doing something that blesses or benefits another person. If every husband or wife was looking at how can I bless my wife? How can I bless my husband? How can I bless my children? How can I bless my mom and dad? What that would do. Faithfulness. You're dependable. They can count on you. Gentleness. Gentleness is not weakness. Listen, anybody can be a jerk. Anybody can be rough. Anybody can be mean. It takes a strong man, a strong woman to be gentle. Self-control, meaning that you dominate, you rule your emotions and passions. They don't dominate you. They don't rule you. So, which groupings are you feeding? How much are you feeding your relationship with Jesus? How much are you feeding your walk with God? How much are you feeding, allowing the Holy Spirit to develop this good fruit in your life? Now, let me give you some 2026 language, some practical terms for this fruit of the Spirit, what it might look like in marriage and the family. Again, got to go quick. One is acknowledging each other every day. If you love somebody, you're going to acknowledge them every day. Monisa's in the Dominican Republic on that mission trip. Earlier this morning, she and I have already exchanged text messages to each other. Love you, praying for you, etc. Acknowledge each other every day and more than once a day. Learn to say over and over a lot, I love you. You got to say that every day and more than once a day. And the next phrase, I hope you don't say it as much as you say I love you, but I hope you do say it occasionally. I'm sorry. I was wrong. And the hardest one of all, you were right. And if you choke on those words, just say them a few times and you'll eventually learn how to do it. It's a language you can learn to speak. Forgiving each other. Letting go of hurts, developing and maintaining intimacy, talking together, laughing together, kissing every day. Let me put it this way. You need to kiss a whole lot more than you need to complain. If you complain more than you kiss, you're headed for trouble. And parents, let your kids see you kiss. That's a good thing. Hold hands every day. I love when I see older couples walking somewhere holding hands. There's just something about it. Hear me, church. Just like the drip, 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 drip of the little things over time can cause the wood to rot, the drip, drip, drip of good things can make a great home. It's the little things. It's the little things done consistently. It's the little things done over and over and over, day after day after day, that make family work. Brag on each other in front of others. Make time for each other. Go to bed together most nights, you know, unless there's a good ball game on. But go to bed together. Learn to compromise. Pay attention to the other person's needs, because listen to me, their needs matter as much as your needs. And if you don't learn how to compromise and meet each other's needs, pay attention to that. Be kind and speak with kind words, and like I've been saying these 2 weeks, just learn to love Jesus more. Learn to love Jesus more. Learn to love Jesus more, and you'll love your family better. So, wrapping up, are you letting the Spirit grow this fruit in you? Or are you letting the flesh have its way? What the flesh produces in us is self-centeredness. What the Holy Spirit produces in us is God-centered and other-centered. Don't ever say, well, that's just how I am. That's selfish. You hear me? That's just how I am. No, that's selfish. That's not love. There's nothing loving about that. That's selfish. Just because you are that way doesn't mean it's good. The Holy Spirit's wanting to help you crucify the fleshly and let Him grow this good fruit. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Would you stand as they come to lead us in singing this song? And I'm inviting you to make your way to the altar to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for yourself. Pastors will be here. You want to pray with a pastor, they'd be happy to pray with you. You want to join this church or be baptized, come to a pastor. You want to begin a relationship with Christ, because, listen, the Holy Spirit is not in you to produce all this good stuff if you don't know Jesus. So you need to come and give your life to Jesus and let Him start the work of growing you. Mm-hmm.